Good morning, church. Welcome to Southwest Central Church. I am so glad that you are here this morning. We have a special time planned for us to pause wherever you find yourself, whether that is in your house or in your car listening to this, gathering maybe on your back porch. Houston's starting to cool down maybe just a tad. So I think that is actually one of the really neat things about being able to gather as a church right now is the unique places we get to sit and feel God, maybe in a different way. So I hope that you're settling in, and welcome, and so glad that you are here today. I also want to briefly mention to grab your communion supplies, whether that is going to be some sort of juice or liquid or water or wine and some sort of bread or cracker or something that you can eat to symbolize the body. So we are definitely going to pause virtually and experience that as a community, which is, again, one of the special things that I think that we do here as a church. So again, I am mindful as I was driving here today of all the things that are going on in your lives. I know that some of us have experienced loss and grief this week. Some of us are experiencing large, hard, weird transitions back to school and work. Some of us are experiencing joy and comfort. And wherever you find yourself this morning, again, you are welcome. So settle in and let's worship.
Good morning, friends. Our psalm for the morning leads us to Psalm 124, which speaks both to the sermon that will come and to the welcome that Chelsea just gave. Psalm 124 goes like this. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Just as we've done for 24 straight weeks now, we light our candle to remind us that Christ's presence is with us, even in our absence from one another. So our favorite candle lighter, Cora, will come up and help me do that right now.
Church. Today we're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision, and You, O Lord, Are My Refuge. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day and by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, be Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and Thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. You, O Lord, are my refuge. You are holy and just. You are faithful and righteous. You, O Lord, are my refuge. By your mercy you cover me. Under the shadow of your wings, Lord, in your presence I'll remain. You are forevermore the same. You are my refuge, my only refuge. You, O Lord, are my refuge. In you I find rest. You're my God and my fortress. You, O Lord, are my refuge. By your mercy you cover me. Under the shadow of your wings, Lord, in your presence I'll remain. You are forevermore the same. You are my refuge, my only refuge. You, O Lord, are my refuge. It is you I will trust. You're my light in the darkness. You, O Lord, are my refuge. By your mercy you cover me. By your mercy you cover me. By your mercy you cover me.
Thank you, Brent. All right, our young friends, those of you who are in Roots, Miss Martha's Bible class on Sundays, Lee's bulletin right here. There's Psalm 124, which I read just a few moments ago. On the back, we're going to be talking about a story found in Acts chapter 16. At the very bottom, there's a section where you are invited to write your own song, your own song lyrics. I would love to see a copy of that if you indeed choose to do that. I think that would bless us tremendously, and me especially. So there's an option for you. We're so glad that you're here. Well, let's pray together, and we'll continue. Oh God, by your mercy and your grace, you meet us here, even as we meet you here and each other in this place. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. Last week we spoke of Lydia, that successful businesswoman, that faithful, hospitable servant who was baptized in the exact same river that she often worshiped God next to. This week we are in Acts chapter 16 again, starting in verse 16. You are welcome to follow along there, if you so choose. Paul and Silas are still in Philippi preaching and teaching, and as we read, going to the place of prayer from last Sunday's sermon. On the way there, a young female, a teenager, a preteen girl perhaps, shows up. She's a well-known fortune teller, a palm reader, a sideshow circus act that wows and fascinates the crowd. She is also a slave. Her owners, we learn, profit handsomely by exploiting her. she makes them a lot of money. Before I go on, can we pause here for a moment and not gloss over the fact that this is a human being who is someone else's possession, someone else's piece of property, listed on someone's itemized tax forms. Here is a young girl whose body is not her own. Here is a girl whose worth is counted out in Caesar-stamped coins that never reach her own pocket. Here is a life whose existence is not measured in terms of her humanity, but in maximum economic revenue. She is an unnamed slave. Without having to leap too far, can we also remember for a moment the slavery in our own country's history? Can we remember the arched backs of men and women and boys and girls whose names and stories are lost to everyone but God's eyes and ears? I'm mindful of a Twitter account called Every 3 Minutes, which sends out a tweet every 3 minutes to remind us how often a slave in America was sold between the years of 1820 and 1860. During my 15-minute sermon, that's 5 people sold. During our 30-minute worship service, that's 10. During the 24 weeks since we've last met in person, that's 80,000, if my math is correct. Slavery is a grievous sin that entangled us then and marks us still. This Philippian slave girl starts following Paul and Silas around. She keeps calling out to them in a loud voice, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Paul and Silas may have been flattered at first that this child is speaking truth. They are proclaiming the way of full salvation. But after a few days of this, Paul and Silas start to get irritated. And it's out of annoyance more than anything else that makes them turn to face the girl and say to the demonic spirit that resides within her, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And the evil spirit leaves, and the girl is free. Except that she's not. She is still someone's property. And when her owners realize that the girl is no longer useful to them, they know that their lucrative money-making scheme has come to an end. So they seize Paul and Silas and drag them into the marketplace, an apt location for what's about to take place. Before the authorities, the owners appeal not to their financial losses, but to threats of national security. Verse 20 says this, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The leaders of the town can't have any of that going on, so they give the command to beat Paul and Silas, and even the crowd joins in the fun. The two men are tossed into prison where they will await their fate. The jailer in charge locks them into the deepest cell possible and fastens leg clamps on their ankles. And what do Paul and Silas do? How do they pass the time? They sing. They harmonize without instruments. They serenade the bleakness with hymns. They worship while they are shackled to the walls and their backs are still raw. They are not defeated by the arrest, not crushed by the flogging, not in despair for what could happen to them tomorrow. They sing to the God who may or may not rescue them. Do you have a song? What songs exit your lips when you are weighed down? What hymns arise within you in the dead of night? I think of one of my favorite authors, Wendell Berry, who writes one of my favorite books, Jaber Crow, which I just happen to have right here. You should read this, by the way. It's a story about Jaber, a man who lives in a small town in Kentucky. He's the town barber and the town's cemetery grave digger, and he's the church janitor. Although he's not quite a full member of the church, here's what Jaber says about it. What I liked most about the service itself was the singing. I liked the sound of people singing together, whatever they sang. But some of the hymns reached me all the way to the bone. Come, thou fount of every blessing, rock of ages, amazing grace, O God, our help in ages past. I loved to hear them sing The Unclouded Day and Sweet By and By. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And in times of sorrow, when they sang Abide With Me, I could not raise my voice. Hymns that reach to the bone, I like them. I think of Noveline Booker, who, whenever we sang our gathering song here, would stand up, even if everyone else was sitting down, would stand up and lift both of her hands up into the air, palms reaching up to heaven, and worship God. She, we know, had learned to sing in the dark. I think also of the songs of slaves here in America, who composed beautiful and evocative songs to God, including ones that we use today, like Go Tell It on the Mountain, Over the Hills and Everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. They sang of the lowly birth of an obscure child in an occupied land who came to set God's people free. They had learned to sing in the dark. What are Paul and Silas singing in the Philippian jail? What song come to their lips? Psalms, perhaps. But no one really knows, of course. I'd like to think, though, that maybe it's the section in the Philippian letter that many scholars believe was an early hymn of the church, the part that goes like this. Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. Maybe that's the song that Paul and Silas sing, the one that the other prisoners in jail are listening to. The praise and worship session goes deep into the night, and sometime around midnight, something happened that requires our imagination because of the improbability of it all. Their singing, their worship of the God who became flesh and lived and died and lives again, their worship earthquakes the very foundation of the prison walls. Iron chains come undone and barred doors swing wide open, not only for Paul and Silas, but for everyone in jail. As one of my friends likes to say, our worship of God loosens the chains of other people. The massive tremors that brought freedom is one of two miracles. The other is that all the inmates are still in their cell. They have not fled. But the head jailer does not know that. He thinks everyone has escaped, and he will end his own life for failing to do his one and only job before anyone will take his life from him. But Paul says, don't do it, my friend. We're all still here. The jailer flips on the lights and falls to his knees before Paul and says, what must I do to be saved? whatever the jailer means by that question, possibly being saved from the wrath of his employers, it is a question that takes on significance for all of us, because all of us, in our better moments, can pinpoint what it is that is not saving us. There are countless ways we can lose our way in the world, and just as many ways that we are held captive. This can range anywhere from private hidden sin to the depressive sense that your life is falling apart, the anger that you feel every day, to the strange relationship you have with money. And that's just the individual side. We haven't yet to begun to name the needs for corporate saving, for collective redemption. Paul takes the jailer's question to a higher level and simply answers this way: believe in the Lord Jesus. If the response seems inadequate to cure all our ills, then let us remember that belief is not some intellectual static noun designed to bolster our self-confidence. Belief is the active and dynamic verb that tunes our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the saving work of Christ Jesus, not only for heaven's sake, but also for heaven on earth's sake. Jesus is doing saving in all the ways. As one of our old hymns says, "Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee." When the jailer learns of Jesus, he gets baptized, saying yes to God's freedom ride. And so does his family. Then, in his newness, he washes Paul's and Silas's wounds. He brings them into his home and feeds them. Because how can the Lord's Supper not be a part of this saving? Our section ends with these words: the jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Scripture teaches us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In our text for today, we have found freedom in the girl possessed, in the marketplace, in the prison, in the prisoners, in the jailer, and in the jailer's home. Alongside, we have found hymns in the unlikeliest of places, which give us permission to add our own voices. So wherever you find yourself this morning, you are invited to sing whatever song that arises within you, one of joy, one of trust, one of repentance, one of heaviness that makes it difficult to lift your head. If you cannot find a song for yourself, then sing a hymn for someone else and see if God does not shake loose some chains. The Holy Spirit is very much active among us, my friends, releasing us from the curses of sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus, Paul told the jailer. Let us, the church, do the same, bringing all that we have and all that we are to God. It is there that we find our true freedom. And together, let us say aloud or type, amen. If you've been following along with us for the duration of this Acts series, you know that we've been praying our way through Acts, and this week is no different. I've asked Josephine Mendoza to write our prayer for this week, and one of the upshots of all this pandemic stuff is me learning about the giftedness that some of you have that I had no idea about. Josephine Mendoza, I learned, is a beautiful writer. And so I'm so thankful to share her prayer today. I have been moved by it. And I want to share that with you now. Chelsea will post it in this feed in just a moment. So let's pray this prayer and let's let it carry us straight to the table. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we come before Thee to give thanks for all the blessings Thou hast given to each and every one of us. We are thankful for this day that we are gathered here to worship Thee. We are thankful for all the blessings that we receive each day, especially for the good health and safety from this pandemic. We are thankful for the guidance of the Spirit that helps us to be away from the sins of the world, being protected by Thee, just as You did for Paul and Silas when they were imprisoned for proclaiming the gospel. We are thankful for Thy continuous love and protection that Thou hast blessed to each of us. At this time, we pray that Thou will continually bless those who are sick and afflicted. Heal them, give them comfort, and make them whole according to their faith unto Thee. Bless also those who need food on their table. Make us an instrument, be an example to those, to others, and to help those who are in need. Bless each of us here at our online Sunday service, that we will be strengthened of our faith unto Thee as we listen to the gospel that is shared to us this morning. We love Thee, Father, and we say this prayer humbly, in Christ Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Josephine. Let's do indeed let this prayer carry us straight to the table where we can rejoice and eat with one another because Christ's presence is with us, even though we are absent in person. So grab your bread, your cup, and let's together share in the grace of Jesus. Let's do that now.
Mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step You were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much You've done, knowing every victory was Your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did You leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, You are faithful. Battleground, seeing just how much You've done, knowing every victory was Your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did You leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, You are faithful. cares and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. By your constant grace, held within your perfect peace, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Evermore we are breathing in your grace. Evermore we'll be breathing out your praise. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we.
We, my friends, have been given, we've been given the very life of Christ as we have shared in the bread and the blood. So let this also be the time to remind you that we give. We give not only in our time and our service, but also our funds. You may do that through the work of this congregation via our website. You can continue to mail in your offering, your tithe, bring it up to the office, and we'll take care of it that way. And as always, thank you. A couple of family matters to share with you. Not this Thursday, but next Thursday is the beginning of our Thursday Bible class. I mentioned to you last week. It is all on Zoom. Andrea Engel has been practicing very hard on how to work Zoom. We are working with her in that. So that will start in two Thursdays from now. If you want to be a part of that, please contact the office. Let King know so that he can give you the best ways forward on how to be a part of that class. Contact King this week if you would like to be a part. Also, this upcoming Saturday is our second of two, possibly more, our second of two feedings in their neighborhood. Houston Food Bank is coming back once again. The YMCA is helping to share that food, to serve that food, to pack it, to give it away. If you are in need of food, please come and share in that. If some of your neighbors are in need also, please let them know that we'll start around 9 a.m. This upcoming Saturday. All right, as we finish up our time this morning, let me say again, thanks for joining us. Thank you for your presence online, doing this whole Facebook thing. It really does make a difference, your presence here, so thank you for that. Let's go out with this benediction. The full Philippian hymn, the one that I mentioned in brief in my sermon, from Philippians chapter 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Peace be with you this week.